We're continuing the Shir in Sipurim Isis. We're learning the story, the final story of Sipurim Isis, the 13th story, which is called the Seven Betlers. And we're in the middle of the third day of the Sheva Brachas. Brief summary, the main reka, as they say in Hebrew, the main environment of this story deals with a couple, it deals with many things, but the meat of this story deals with a young couple that end up getting married, and at their Sheva Brachas, the 7 days of celebration that take place after the wedding, they're celebrating, they have tremendous joy, and they remember when they were lost in the forest together, how there were these betlers that appeared to them and provided them with food, took care of them, and they yearn desperately for these betlers to share in their joy and happiness at the wedding, at the Sheva Brachas. And on each one of the 7 days, they yearn for one of the seven betlers that help them, and the betler suddenly appears. And he tells them that, whereas when I parted ways from you, when I left you in the forest, I gave you a blessing to be like me, now that you're getting married, now that you're married, I'm giving you a gift, an actual wedding gift to be like me. And even though it would appear as if I am defective, each one of the betlers seems to have a different major defect, they go on to explain and prove how what seems like a defect is not a defect at all. It's actually an asset. And it's actually their greatness that they're extremely outstanding in that item. And in each one of the cases, they say, and I'll prove what I'm saying, with a story. And sometimes it's a story within a story. There's incredible, incredible depth. Out of all the stories, the Sipurim Isis itself, it's very deep. This story is much deeper than all the other stories put together, combined. Incredible depth. We're fortunate to have a little bit of commentary on it in the Likutei Halachos. And in some of the other Sforim, Breslov Sforim, for example, there are Sforim written by Rav Nachman Chirinzal, who was one of the close students of Rav Nosson Zal, who was a giant, tremendous giant, in all facets of Torah. And he wrote several Sforim that clarify, that illuminate Rabbeinu Zal's words, and even Rav Nosson Zal's words in certain cases. For example, he wrote a Sefer Yikoro de Shabbato, the greatness, the specialness of Shabbos, where in this Sefer, he goes through the entire Likutei Moran, all of Rabbi Nachman's lectures in Likutei Moran, showing how all the different important qualities and all the goals of a Jew in life are included in Shabbos, in the mitzvah of Shabbos, and all facets of it. And he includes in that Sefer, he also goes into the Sipurim Isis, showing how all the different important things that are discussed in each one of the stories are included in the mitzvah of Shabbos. And we're going to touch on that in today's Shir regarding the story that we're learning. He wrote another Sefer called Zimra Sa'oretz, the Song of the Land, regarding the specialness of Eretz Yisrael. And he said that, as we know, Rabbi Nachman told his students that Eretz Yisrael includes in it all different aspects of holiness and goodness in existence. So therefore, again, he wrote this Sefer to show that every type of good that's discussed throughout the entire Likutei Moran and also the Sipurim Isis is all included in Eretz Yisrael. And we'll touch on that today also, I hope, in Yitzhak Hashem, in the Shir that we're going to have now. We were in the middle of the third day of the Sheva Brachas, when the couple yearned for the betler who couldn't speak. He was Kvad Peh, it's called in Hebrew. And then suddenly he appeared, he came upon them, and he gave them a gift to be like him. And he said, "You think I'm a mute, I can't speak? It's only because the words that people in the world are speaking, most of what people in the world are talking about, is not praise to Hashem. And therefore, it's lacking. Because the only words that really count, that are really fulfilling the mission of the creation of the world, are words that pay respect and honor to Hashem. And he said, really, I have an incredible power of speech, and I can give forth songs and lyrics and poetry where there isn't anything in creation that wouldn't want to hear me. And within these songs that I know and these lyrics are found all the different wisdoms, all the different chachmas. Now we know that in Judaism, different great people have different titles. Yosef, the son of Yaakov Avinu, is called Yosef HaTzadik, specifically because he proved himself to be most outstanding in purity in Tikkun HaBris, in the relationship between men and women. And the Zohar HaKadosh says the title Tzadik refers specifically to that. David HaMelech, David is known, even though he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, the Gemara mentions many times about him teaching Torah to students, and how his Torah was so pure that the law was always in his favor. He always was privileged to derive the correct opinion in Halacha. And yet we refer to him as King David. His son, Shlomo HaMelech, who is also known as King, but when the Torah describes his greatness, the Torah speaks about his Chochmah. Vatorev Chochmas Shloimoi Mikol Odom Ashel Pnei Adom. The knowledge and wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech exceeded that of everybody in the world, surpassed everybody. And in Shlomo HaMelech has given us, gave Klal Yisrael several different Sforim of the Torah. Of the 24 books of the Torah, there are several of them that are attributed to Shlomo HaMelech. Of the Megillos and Koheles, and especially Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, as it's called, which the Gemara and the Zohar HaKadosh refer to as Kodesh Kodoshim, the Holy of Holies. The highest, deepest level of Torah, of Chochmah, is found in this Song of Songs. Just like we find the Bettler here, speaking about his ability to give forth poetry and song, in which is contained all the Chochmahs. And he goes on to say that I am going to prove my power of speech and my knowledge and my song, the greatness of my song, from the great person who is called the Ish Chesed Ho'emes, the true man of kindness. And he goes on to tell a story about great wise people who were sitting together. Each one was priding himself with his knowledge. And one said that I discovered and revealed metal, steel. The other one said, I discovered a more important metal than that. And the third one said, I discovered silver. And the fourth one, gold. And so on and so forth. And then there was a very wise person there that was said, all of you are smart, but all of your knowledge can be included in an hour. However, even though your knowledge comes from different days of creation, but it's not even a whole hour from each day. It's a couple of minutes from here, a couple of minutes from there. Whereas I am as smart as a complete day, showing that he was far, far greater than them. The Bettler, who's speaking, who's relating this, says, I was there also, and I asked him, oh yeah, like which day? Like which day is your Chachma? And he said, as soon as I said that, this person responded, oh, he's certainly smarter than me. By the fact that he's asking, like which day, and he has said, however, my answer to you is like whatever day you want. And now you'll ask, why just because he asked like which day is he smarter? Do I know that he's smarter than me? There's a story that I have to tell that'll clarify this. And with this, he leads into the story that there is a man, an Ish Chesed Ho'emes, a true man of kindness. And the whole concept of time, which is a creation of Hashem, Zman, time, comes about through these Chasodim of Emes, through true acts of kindness. And he said, and this person, this Bettler, who seems as if he can't speak, he is the one who gathers up the true acts of kindness and brings them to the Ish Chesed Hoemes, to this man of true kindness, and through that they give life to the world, as we're going to see. And now he begins to tell his story, a new facet of the story, where he says, there is a mountain, and on this mountain there is a rock, and from that rock comes forth a spring. And then he goes on to say, everything has a heart. A human being has a heart, animals have hearts, countries have the heart of the country. The capital city, for example, from which the entire country operates, is generally the heart of the country. And so on and so forth. And he says that the heart, he goes on to speak a little bit about the heart, and he describes how the heart, and how there is a heart which is the heart of the world. And this heart appears on one end of the world, and this mountain on which is found this rock, which has this spring, is on the other end of the world. And these two, the heart and this spring, have an incredible longing for each other. And the heart has the deepest, deepest feelings of yearning for the spring. However, he goes on to say that there are two things that weaken this heart. One of them is that because of the fact that the heart has this deep, infinite, boundless, this boundless yearning, that causes it weakness, that weakens the heart. And in addition, the sun baking down, the heat of the sun baking on this heart, also weakens the heart. However, there is a bird, a huge bird that has huge wings, and when this bird spreads its wings over the heart, it protects it from the heat of the sun, thereby solving both weaknesses. Number one, the weakness that comes from the sun, and the weakness that also comes from the overwhelming yearning that the heart has, which is excessive, this too much yearning that the heart has for the spring. And then Rabbi Nezel said, and the question is, if the heart is yearning so much for the spring, why don't they get together? And Rabbi Nezel went on to say that so long as the heart is distant from the spring, it can see it. However, were the heart to attempt to get closer to the spring, to move closer to this mountain, we know the spring is on top of the mountain. And we know that when a human being is standing a distance from a mountain, they can see on an angle, they can see upwards to what's on top of the mountain. Whereas as you move closer to the mountain, that angle changes and you can no longer see what's on top of the mountain. And if the heart would stop seeing, if the contact between the heart and this spring were to be interrupted, the heart would cease to exist and the world would cease to exist, basically. And then Rabbi Nezal went on to say that this continues all day. And then when it comes close to the end of the day, when the day is about to end, the heart and the spring start saying their goodbyes to each other. They start parting from each other, and they begin to sing songs, beautiful songs, and incredible poetry. We know that when people are very close to each other, and they know that they're about to be separated, they're taking a leave from each other, that moment inspires incredible deep feelings between the two. It's important to note that there's a law in Shulchan Aruch, in Hebrew law, that says that when you have a husband and wife, and generally it's the husband who would leave the wife, whether it's for Torah study, whether it's for business, whatever it is, if the husband is going on a trip and he's going to be leaving the wife for a certain extended period of time, before he leaves, there's a special mitzvah for them to be together at that time. And the reason it's pointed out for this is that because of the fact that they are about to be separated, these two people who love each other and who have tremendous feelings for each other, when they know that they're about to be separated, when they're together, the feelings are constantly being shared and each one is lifting up the other one and encouraging the other one, inspiring, all kinds of positive energy that's passing between both of them. When they realize that they're about to be separated, and especially if it's going to be a serious for a period of time, that's when all the feelings that they have for each other are suddenly awakened even stronger by the fact that I'm going to miss you. This one says I'm going to miss you, and this one says I'm going to miss you. And when they express those feelings that I'm going to miss you, each one starts remembering and realizing sometimes more than they did before. That the famous saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder. When they realize that they're going to be away from each other and separated, each one starts feeling more and more how much they need the other one and how important the presence of the other one in their life means to them. And that heightens the feelings that exist between them to a holiness where when they're together at such a time, they can bring down a soul of the highest levels of holiness into the world. The child that can be brought from such a union could be on a much higher level than regular. And this is the same theme that we have here expressed in the story now, that when these two, towards the end of the day, when these two are saying their goodbyes to each other, they say it with extraordinary poetry, song, lyrics, describing, expressing the deep love that they have for each other. Interesting. One of the outstanding Hasidic Sforim, the B'nai Yisachar, who expounds on the different holidays, the different important times throughout the year, he asks an interesting question regarding the topic of Tisha B'Av. We know that Tisha B'Av is when we mourn the destruction, the complete destruction of both holy temples, the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, and the Gemara tells us that when the Romans broke into the Beis HaMikdash, and they went past one line, past another line, they went into the Holy of Holies. They pulled aside the curtain, the Parochus, they went in to see what the Jews have in their Holy of Holies. And they saw the Orin, they saw the Holy Ark, which had in it the Luchos, and they saw the Kruvim, the cherubs on top of the Orin, which were these images, bird-like images, with child faces. The faces of these birds were like the faces of small children, and they saw the Kruvim in an embrace, facing each other in a very close embrace. And they took this out of the Holy Temple to make fun of the Jews. Look, the Jews consider themselves a holy nation, purity. Look what they have in their Holy of Holies. The Gemara mentions this story. The B'nai Yisachar asks an incredible question. How could this possibly have been the case when we know the Gemara tells us that whenever the Jews are conducting themselves properly, they're behaving correctly, both in their relationship with Hashem and with each other, then the Kruvim faced each other and they had this deep connection with each other. Whenever the Jews were going against the will of Hashem, whether it's our relationship with Hashem or our relationship with our fellow men, by miracle, these Kruvim would turn back to back from each other. Now here we're talking about the day of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when Hashem allowed the Romans to come in and plunder and kill millions of Jews and to burn down, to destroy the Holy Temple completely. Why? Because the Jews were not fulfilling the commands of Hashem. We were going against the will of Hashem. So how could it be that when they went inside, they saw the Kruvim facing each other in this deep, deep connection? And the B'nai Yisachar answered this question with what we discussed right before. This was a time, this moment, when the Romans came in and were about to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. This was a time of the parting of the ways between Hashem and the Jewish people. The Shekhinah, the Holy Spirit, was going to be going to exile. Hashem and the Jewish people were going to be separated to a certain degree, on a certain level. At that moment, when the couple is about to be separated, that's when the strongest feelings of yearning and desire for each other are aroused. And that's what was displayed by the Romans seeing these crewmen facing each other in that embrace. That was the embrace right before this major separation that was about to take place. So now we said that as the day is drawing to a close, the heart and the spring are starting to say their goodbyes to each other with these beautiful songs and poetry, with deep love and longing. And this Ish Chesed Hoemes, this true man of kindness, he oversees this whole procedure. He's the one who's watching this whole thing. And when the day actually comes to an end, then this true man of kindness gives another day, a new day to the heart. And the heart passes on that new day to the spring. And now the spring, both of them have time again. And then, when this day leaves, so when the day, the current day, leaves, it leaves also with beautiful songs and poetry, which have in it all deep types of wisdom. And each and every single day is different. There's a Sunday, there's a Monday, there's a Rosh Chodesh, there's a holiday. Every single day has its unique songs and its unique chokhmah that's found in the day. And now, the Bettler, this mute Bettler, the Bettler who supposedly can't speak, says that all of this time, this Ish Chesed Oemes, this true man of kindness, who is the one who gives them a day, each time when the day comes to an end, he's the one who gives them a day, he receives that from me, the Bettler says. Because I am the one who gathers up all the true acts of kindness, which are what generate time, and I bring it to this Ish Chesed Oemes, from which he passes on to the heart and to this spring. And therefore, the Bettler concludes, therefore it's obvious why he is smarter even than the Chacham, the wise man who said, I'm as smart as any day you want. Because the whole concept of time, the whole existence of time, comes about through this Bettler, this Kvad Peh, who gathers up these true kindnesses, which are what generate time. He brings them to the Ish Chesed Hoemes, to the man who's appointed over these true kindnesses, who passes it on to the heart, to the spring, and this is how the world exists. This is how each new day is created in the world. We see from this, therefore, that the creation of time with these songs and poetry, which have inside of them all of this, all the chachmas of the world, all the knowledge of the whole world, all of it comes from this Bettler, this Kvad Peh, this Bettler who couldn't speak. Therefore, he said, based on this, you understand that this true man of kindness is my proof that I have this ability to sing the most beautiful, the most incredible songs that have in them all of these chachmas, which are what create the time. And this is what I'm giving you now as a wedding gift on the third day of your Sheva Brachas, that you should be like me. And there was incredible joy and happiness that took place, celebration, at that point in time. There's a lot to say about this. We're going to start. We're going to spend a few minutes now opening this discussion. And in the following shiur, we'll go into it more. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us that when Hashem created the world, Hashem created the world in 6 days. In 6 days, number one. That's what all of us are familiar with. That in 6 days, Hashem created the world. On the seventh day, he rested. However, if you look carefully at the wording in the Torah, it doesn't say ki b'sheshes yomim. It doesn't say Hashem created the world in 6 days. It says ki sheshes yomim oso Hashem. Hashem created 6 days. And the Zohar HaKadosh explains that this refers to Hashem creating the midos, chesed, gevura, the midos which start from chesed as we mentioned here, the Chesed Shel Emes, and of which the main character in those six midos, or seven midos, as we'll see, is Emes, Tiferes. The mid of Tiferes, which is associated with Emes, truth. This is the Chesed Shel Emes that we're speaking about here. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, Hashem created 6 days. Then what happened? The answer is, then Hashem rested on the seventh day. What about day number eight? Who created that? The answer is, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains, that Shabbos creates the next 6 days. Every single week, Hashem created the first 6 days. Sheshes Yomim Oso Hashem. Who makes the next set of 6 days? The Shabbos. Each time that we experience a Shabbos, Shabbos is the one who goes ahead, depending on how a person observes the Shabbos, with the joy of the happiness of Shabbos, the Torah of Shabbos, the learning that a person does on Shabbos, the songs, the singing that a person does on Shabbos, whether it's the songs, the prayers of Shabbos, which are different from the 6 days of the week, in what manner? The songs. On the Friday night tefillah, we have something different than we have the other 6 days. We have the L'chadoidi, the special singing that's done. We have that special paragraph after the L'chadoidi, Mizmor Shir L'Yoyim HaShabbos. Let us give forth the song of the day of Shabbos. What's the song of Shabbos? Toiv L'chadoidi L'Hashem U'Lezama L'Shim L'Choyim. How good it is to praise Hashem and to sing Hashem's holy name. This is the essence of Shabbos. Shabbos is this center, this foundation of Chochmah. We know that the Torah tells us, the Ben Ish Chai writes, that 1 hour of learning on Shabbos is like 1,000 hours of learning during the week. Because the Neshama Yisera, the additional soul that a person has on Shabbos, the additional brain that a person has on Shabbos, puts us in a completely different place than during the week. And it's this holiness of Shabbos, this song, this chachmah, that represents this chesed shel emes, this true kindness. We know that when the Gemara speaks about Shabbos, about Hashem giving the Jewish people Shabbos, the Gemara says that Hashem says, Matona toivo yesh li beveis gnozai, I have a wonderful gift in my treasury, the Shabbos Shmo. The name of this gift is Shabbos, Vani Mavakesh Litno Yisrael, and I want to give it to the Jewish people. What is a gift? A gift is an expression of love and kindness. Gift means salary is something that you earn. The term gift means something that goes beyond that. I'm not giving you this because you worked such and so many and so many hours. That's salary, that's earnings. Gift, we have the concept of freebie. A freebie is a gift that you're going to receive, which is, again, an expression of love and kindness. This is the love and kindness that Hashem has placed into the Shabbos. The Shabbos during which there are these incredible chasodim gedolim. Shabbos possesses the highest level of kindness of Hashem. On Shabbos at Mincha, we say, "Vanis filosi l'cho Hashem eis rotzoin," that I'm presenting my prayer to Hashem on this day, at this hour, when Hashem's love and yearning towards us is at its peak, the highest that it can possibly be, is on Shabbos at Mincha time. Raiva deraivin, rotzoin shibritzoinis, which means Ahavo, the highest level of Ahavo, this Chesed Shel Emes. And why Emes? We know the Gemara says that Shabbos is the expression of honesty and truth. The Gemara says that even an Am Haaretz is afraid to lie on Shabbos. Shabbos represents this moment of truth, a time of truth when the kindness, we know here again, there are times that somebody gives somebody a gift. There are stores that give out gifts when you come. You know, come, you get a free gift. And everybody knows the free gift is worth $10, $25. They're giving it to you because
They set things up in such a way that you're going to spend $250 or $300. That's what you're getting, this free gift. So we know that very often what's called free and what's called gift is very far from that. When we speak about Hashem giving us chesed, showing us chesed, that's this chesed shalemis that's reflected in the Shabbos. And these are the incredible songs. This is why we bring in the Shabbos on Friday afternoon. There's a special custom to recite Shir HaShirim. We bring in the Shabbos with a song. We have the L'chodoyli Friday night. We have the Kel Odoin on Shabbos morning. We have, again, the special Chazanim during the week. Many synagogues aren't so particular who they send up to be the Shliach Tzibur. But on Shabbos, we need somebody with a voice, somebody who could sing, somebody... Because we realize that this is the time, this is that special time when the heart and the spring are uniting. The heart, again, there are many different ways, many things that this represents. One of these symbols in the heart and the spring, the heart represents the Jewish people who are referred to as the heart of the world. The spring represents our source, the Nekudos Tovos. The goodness, the essence of goodness of the Jewish people. And every single Jewish heart is longing to be one with its goodness, with its essence of goodness. And the time when this takes place, the most opportune time, is the Shabbos Kodesh. This Mizmor Shiriyam HaShabbos. We know that the whole world was created with Chachma. The Pasuk says, Kulam Bechachma Osiso. Everything in creation... Everything in creation has Chachma in it. But Shabbos is a composite of all the other 6 days. This is why we said Hashem created the 6 days. What about Shabbos? Shabbos is all the 6 days put together plus. It's the union, it's the unity, the purity, the holiness, the light of all those other 6 days coming together and blending together to make something even bigger than all 6 days put together. I want to leave it here for now. In Yitz Hashem, we're going to continue. We'll have more on this, more elaboration on this, regarding Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash, as we touched on earlier, in Yitz Hashem, the next shiur.